Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Knock, knock, Rangers. Daddy's at the door, and he's looking to reclaim his division. We'll talk about it next on episode 24 of Stone Cold Stros, and it starts right now. Welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by senior content contributor Charlie Polillo. If you enjoy him here, please be sure to read his column weekly on sportsmap.com. Follow him on Twitter at Polillo. And Josh Jordan, he edits that column as well as all the columns on sportsmap.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JoshJordan975. For everyone out there watching, please be sure to hit like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I'll turn my notifications off so we won't get any more dings like that during the podcast. Gentlemen, welcome in.
Greetings. What do you call an underwhelming sweep of one of the worst teams in the history of baseball? Answer, a sweep.
How sweep it was. I'll see myself out. So, guys, let's talk about it. The Astros have won 7 straight, 10 out of 11 as of this recording. They're currently sitting 2 games behind the Rangers. Who stood out to you during this run?
You know, there really wasn't one guy, as the Astros did a perfect job of taking out the trash. The Cubs are bad. The A's are historically pathetic and inept. So, run the table. Now, you don't get a prize for that, but that was handling business. But it's not as if one guy had an amazing week, threw the team on his back. So I will mention Jose Altuve's return as just feeling like a tremendous tonic. Drew 4 walks in the 3 games, and it just feels like order is restored at the top of the batting order. All due respect to Mauricio Dubon. I guess I'll hand a small bouquet because the opportunities are rare. Martin Maldonado, now over his last 14 games, is batting .296. Doesn't override that he hit .131 in the 20 games he played before that, but take it where you can get it.
Yep. I'm going to go with our man, Jake Myers. He's been really good as of late. Our friend Brian McTaggart had down that 9 consecutive plate appearances. He reached base before recording an out in the 8th inning of the game yesterday. So way to go, Jake Myers. The pitching's also been great. I mean, look what Fromber did yesterday. So yeah, Maldi, Jake Myers, great job.
Yeah, and I'll go with Hunter Brown during this stretch because his last 7 games, he's 3-1 with a 3.23 ERA. Granted, we had some hopes that this is what we would see out of Hunter Brown this season, but hope in one hand and in the other, and you see which one fills up first. Hunter Brown has filled the hope up hand, so that's really awesome. And that's really good because the update on Lance McCullers this week, not necessarily encouraging. We don't know exactly what it is, but we know that as of Sunday, Lance McCullers was scheduled for a live bullpen session, and that was downgraded to a soft playing catch on a flat surface. Stop me if you've heard this one before, but the Astros say it's not a setback. Guys, I have a pre-bottom line question before we get to the bottom line question, which is, who do you think gets back first, Lance McCullers or Michael Brantley?
God. Oh, boy. Geez, if Brantley's not back before the All-Star break, the Astros and Jeff Bagwell had the worst medical diagnosis in the history of medical diagnoses. Oh, yeah, he'll be good to go opening day. So I guess I have to go Brantley because with what Dana Brown said on Sunday, no way McCullers is coming back before the All-Star break, and that's mid-July.
Yep, give me Michael Brantley. McCullers doesn't look anywhere near ready. And to get him prepared to be able to throw 100 pitches per start, I mean, that seems a long way away for me, unfortunately.
We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but we kind of diagnosing or dissecting, I should say, Dana Brown's comments about McCullers and kind of their desire to ramp him up to a certain level. You know, whether it's a starter, I mean, they definitely need starter depth. But if they're not able to ramp him up to a starter's amount of innings, what's the likelihood maybe we see him come out of the bullpen? I mean, the bullpen's pretty stacked. There's a lot of competition there. He would definitely be, if you gave him meaningful innings, he would definitely be displacing someone who's super productive. But, you know, where does he kind of fit into that puzzle?
I think you, to a good extent there, asked and answered, Brandon. If McCullers is throwing bullpen innings, it either means the bullpen has blown multiple gaskets or McCullers is generally meaningless because he's not going to supplant Presley. He's not going to supplant Brian Abreu or Hector Neris. I know it's been a bumpy road for Rafael Montero, but we'll see where he is 6 weeks from now. Ditto, I guess, Ryan Stanek. I think the hope with McCullers, who at this point is not a luxury given the hits they've taken in the rotation, whether the return of Rakiti, obviously no return coming for Luis Garcia. Turns out J.P. France isn't going to be in the express lane to the Cy Young race. And Brandon Bielak, once he faces better lineups, giving up 33 base runners in 18 innings, it's not going to play. So they can really, really use Lance. I think the reasonable goal would be that if he can give you 75, 80 pitches, and he's what they used to call a five and fly before it became the standard for so many starting pitchers. If he gets you through five innings, you know, Fromber's going deep, Javier's going deep, Hunter Brown's giving you a reliable six. Well, if your fourth and five starters are giving you five competent innings, then you can stack that bullpen to cover the rest of the game. Over under on McCullers, he made eight starts last season. Right, his regular season debut was August 13th. He gave them eight pretty good starts. And the postseason, you're only good as your last start. They buried him in the P, Philadelphia. But if you're offered McCullers eight regular season starts and healthy going into the postseason, I'd take a ditto of last season.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it just makes you wonder, is this going to be it every year where he takes half the season to get ready to start playing and pitching? How sustainable is that? I don't know. I know McCullers prefers to start. I know they prefer him to start for all the reasons you laid out. But just with where we are, I mean, it's Groundhog Day. We're seeing it again. I mean, to just count on him to be able to pitch for a handful of starts in the playoffs is pretty discouraging. But I don't know if it's any better out of the bullpen. You know, bullpen guys have to get up and get loose quickly, you know, based on how the game flow is happening. If somebody's getting in trouble, you don't want a guy with elbow issues hurrying up to get ready to get in a game and throw high velocity with a lot of breaking pitches. So I think they're doing the best they can with Lance. I guess patience is really the only option they have.
I think if it's a roll of consequence, it's starter or bust for McCullers.
Well, obviously the pitching plays a very key important element to this team, because right now they are playing a game of how low can you keep the other score right now, because the Astros offense, you know, we're talking about the stretch of games in which they've won, you know, 10 of 11, but they're still in the lower echelons of offensive rankings. It's just been the pitching that's been superb for them to be able to sustain. I mean, nothing for nothing, but that was kind of the key to their success last year, was, you know, having just top-notch starting and bullpen, and, you know, being able to hit, you know, have timely scoring. I just wonder if they can sustain that, especially as this continues, and as Jose Abreu continues to hit in the cleanup role. We'll talk about that more later. Let's talk about offense and defense, specifically on the right side of the Astros infield. Jose Altuve returns, as we've discussed. He was two for his first nine with four walks. Look at that, four walks right out of the gate. We talked about this before his return. We talked about, would this push Jose Abreu down in the lineup and out of that cleanup spot? We saw little signs that Dusty was a little bit more flexible going lefty-lefty with Yordan and Tucker. And while nothing shocks us about Dusty's lineup, are you at least a little surprised that Dusty is sticking with Abreu in the cleanup spot, given that he really had a built-in excuse to reshuffle the lineup with Altuve's return?
It's managerial negligence at this point that Dusty relapsed. Back-to-back games last week, he went with Yordan 3, Tucker 4. Abreu 10th would probably be better than 5th, but okay, it was a step in moving him down. And then they face a lefty with an ERA over 7 Friday night. Oh, I have to have Abreu in there splitting up my lefties. There's no worse player in Major League Baseball this season. There isn't one. For the playing time that he's gotten, it's not as if he compensates for the sub-brutal offensive performance with dazzling base-running skills. Of course, when you're never on base, I guess it minimizes the damage you can do there. The defense has been spotty at best, but the man was signed for $19.5 million per season to come and hit, and he hasn't hit worth a damn. It's now no home runs as an Astro, one in his last even 100 games played starting this week, dating to the one homer in his last 55 games with the White Sox. He hardly ever hits the ball hard. He can't pull anything. Has he come close to hitting a pop fly that drops in the Crawford boxes? I don't think so. Yeah. I think he has one ball that hit maybe halfway up the wall to the left center side of the Crawford boxes. He looks cooked. Maybe there's some elixir or remedy to the situation, but he's 172 at bats into the season. It's not early anymore, right? The general rule of thumb is, well, until a guy is 100, 150 at bats, it's tough to gauge. Well, he's gone comfortably ahead of that. He rarely walks. His last 10 games, obviously zero home runs, one double, one extra base hit over the last 10 games. So there are no smoldering embers that you're thinking, well, maybe that can turn into a little bit of a fire. There's zero, zip, nada. So Dusty continuing to put him in the cleanup spot on this specific point. Dusty's just dumb. I mean, maybe it's the teenager or any ager. No one likes to be told what to do. So whether Dana Brown or anyone else on the analytics team, Joe Espada, Tea Leaves, Dusty, this is patently obvious. Continually running Abreu out in the cleanup spot is just doofy.
I'm with you. I mean, we get the walk-off from Tucker with that great come-from-behind victory, and everybody's talking about, hey, if you wouldn't have had Tucker there hitting behind Yordan, it would have been Abreu, and you probably want to come back and won the game. So we all thought, okay, well, this is what they're going to do going forward. The very next game, Dusty puts Abreu back in the cleanup spot. It makes zero sense to me. I mean, OPS, he has the second worst in the league, I believe, right now. Slugging, I think he's third worst. I mean, this is just awful out of people that qualify. I don't get it. And we look at the team, Astros OPS for the season as a team right now, they're 22nd, slugging they're 25th. Well, you look back at last year, they were 7th in OPS. So this is not a deal where they only won just with great pitching. By the way, they're first in ERA now for this season. The Astros were also doing it with the bats last year. I don't know how sustainable this is. They have to do something with Abreu. You can't hit cleanup anymore.
You know, I want to cut a little bit of slack to Dusty in that he's not working from prepared text when he speaks with the media, but diminishing slack. I mean, Dusty frankly sounded foolish on two issues over the last few days. One on Abreu, well, we just have to get him going. He's hit for years. We just have to get him going. Well, you don't have to get him going by continually penciling him into the fourth spot in your batting order. I mean, go to Jeremy Peña in the leadoff spot, not a prototype leadoff guy. He pulled the plug on that 1 week into the season. Okay, I get it. Peña doesn't have an 8-year resume like Jose Abreu. Well, Peña's not 36 years old like Jose Abreu and not looking absolutely washed up as Abreu basically has from opening day until this day. And then secondly, on Martin Maldonado, where Dusty was making the point that, well, you know, the way the schedule is and the way we're winning, I think it's pretty much a correlation between Maldi playing and us winning. You play the Cubs and the A's this week. How about the rest of the season before that, where their winning percentage better when Maldi wasn't catching? Team ERA better when Maldi wasn't catching. Catching opposing base stealers, higher percentage with Diaz than Maldi. I just think Dusty digs a trench on a couple of these issues, and you know, I don't know whether he's going to die on the hill with these. I will make a late May prediction. No matter how this season plays out, my guess is it's Dusty Baker's last as the manager of the Astros.
As I hear you say that, Dusty's not foolish. He certainly has reasons for doing, he's forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know.
But he can be foolish on specific points.
Sure. No doubt about it.
Things. Like, dumb people do smart things.
Yes.
Good decisions can work out poorly.
Is it possible that maybe he's carrying water for somebody else in the organization? Is there some motivation? Is he giving Abreu enough rope to hang himself on, or is he just sticking with his guns because he feels influenced to do so?
I mean, I feel like my confidence would be worse by letting down my teammates batting cleanup in almost every single game. To me, that would be a bigger confidence hit than Dusty moving me down. So I don't know if I buy that. And who would he carry water for? Maybe Bagwell or Crane? Because, you know, Dana Brown wasn't here for those signings. I think Dusty, I think he might have hit it there, Brandon. He might have been one of the big guys pushing for Abreu, you know? So, you know, maybe that's part of it. It's just, this team is not built the same way as last year's team, at least up to this point. So you can't keep, you know, going into these situations knowing that you're not giving yourself a very good chance of performing with him hitting in the cleanup spot. He's the worst hitter in baseball right now. I mean, who else would get this kind of, you know, this many opportunities to keep going out there and doing this?
Yeah, as of this week, Dusty Baker's a 74-year-old made man with a very rich and successful, well-rounded baseball life. Other than the Astros giving him one more shot in the saddle as a big league manager, who is he beholden to and for what? I do want to toss in, if not quite revisionist history, a little bit of 2020 hindsight, the Abreu signing was not patently stupid. Right? He was coming off a good year, though, with some warning signs, the power fall off in the second half, but the man did hit over 300 in the second half last year. By the way, Yuli Gurriel, who's having a better season than Abreu, because who isn't having a better season? Gurriel's not doing well with the Marlins. His OPS is back below 700. It's a little better than he was with the Astros last season when he was at a replacement level. It's just that replacement, to the tune of 3 years, $58.5 million, to this point, is an unmitigated disaster.
Well, if Abreu gives you what Yuli did last year, which he scuffles throughout the year, but then turns it on in the playoffs when it matters, then you'll take that every year. I think, I mean, granted, I think you would have adjusted the amount of the contract if that's going to be the case. But one of the guys that's kind of getting buried here, you know, metaphorically, is Mauricio Dubon, one of your more productive hitters during the first quarter of the season. I mean, he stepped up in a way that you could not have expected him to step up when Jose Altuve went down with that broken hand. And, you know, we kind of contemplated, where do you put him? You can't take his bat out of the lineup, like, just out of respect for him. And I know he's only, you know, he's here because he's a utility player, and, you know, he's hit better than you could have imagined. But doesn't this kind of go against that old school philosophy of playing the hot hand? And I know we've seen him take some, you know, some grounders at first base. They've been experimenting with him, you know, taking reps and practice at first base. I don't think there's going to be any situation in which Jose Abreu, if they're not even willing to move him down, they're certainly not going to be willing to replace him with Mauricio Dubon at first. But do you find it curious that Mauricio Dubon, after being a guy who's contributed so much to you and what had been one of your hottest, at least hitting, he's not, you know, an on-base phenom by any stretch of the imagination, but after kind of hitting a lull, kind of rebounded back and was back above 300 hitting again, is it curious to see him get iced out like this quick?
Yeah, but he didn't see the field in the weekend against Oakland. But a bit of a numbers crunch until or unless they get to the point where, okay, we'll give him a few reps at first. And to beat the dead horse on this, you know, Dusty, all right, you want to stand by your man, show faith and confidence, reversion to the career mean, whatever. Doesn't mean Abreu should be played 45 of their first 46 games when he's an absolute anvil dragging the boat down. But, you know, Jake Myers, good run. Chaz McCormick recently getting back. So that pretty much precludes Dubon getting center field run that he got some last year. Corey Jolks has really fallen off. I don't think he merits playing time at this point. So any day you want to DH Jolks or spot him in left field to give Yordan a day at DH, maybe that's where you can funnel a little bit of playing time to Dubon. You know, Altuve's injury was a thumb, not a hamstring. It's not like his cardio's down. So other than the occasional DH day, it's not like you're going to give Dubon a couple days per week at second base. So he's kind of an odd man out. You know, Yiner Diaz reps at first base. Brantley was taking reps at first base. Dubon now is taking reps at first base. Either you guys want to take some reps at first base? I mean, it's as if they're acknowledging we have to try something else at first base. Well, get on with trying it.
Yeah, move it along. And Dubon can play the outfield for you as well. And I mean, Dusty's been so good about getting Jake Myers at bats and Chaz at bats and, you know, mixing everybody in early in the season so nobody gets cold. And then the second Altuve comes back, your hottest hitter, you playing him on the bench. Before Altuve came back, he led the team in hits. He led the team in doubles. He led the team in runs scored. And you're just not going to use this guy anymore. You know, the one big thing we talked about, he doesn't walk that much, which is interesting. We brought up that Altuve has already walked 4 times in 3 games. Dubon's walked 5 times the entire season, 37 games. I mean, just think about that. So Altuve's doing his job. He's getting on base. That's what they want there. But I'd like to see more opportunity for Dubon. And I understand he's your only backup infielder right now with Hensley going down. And I keep hearing this argument. Oh, you can't possibly play him. What if somebody gets hurt? It's not the playoffs. If somebody has to play maybe not their strongest position for a few innings just to get you through a regular season game, oh, well, I don't understand that argument. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's not the playoffs, but if it were, like if the playoffs started tomorrow and the Astros are in, gun to your head, is Dusty still putting Abreu in that cleanup spot?
Yes.
It feels like
game one of the playoffs was tomorrow. If they're facing a left-handed starter, abso-freaking-lutely, against a righty, maybe he'd hit him fifth. Maybe he would go Yordan Tuck, but I don't think any lower than fifth at this point.
No. And when I saw that lineup card come out for the first game with Altuve back and I saw Abreu in the 4 spot, which, trust me, social media had some comments about that, it occurred to me that Dusty was like, finally, I get to put my lineup together the way I envisioned it before the season started, before Altuve got hurt. I almost think he was just like, this is the lineup I was going to run out there with Altuve first, Abreu fourth, and he wanted to see that in action. But he got a wake-up call that it's not working.
So still a lot of warts with the offense, a real couple ugly, pussy ones. But they spend this week at Milwaukee, which is pretty good, but not world-beating, and then another series with Oakland. Right, the Rangers have already had 2 series with the A's. The Astros get their second chance at beating up on the hapless this weekend. They're up to a 95-win pace for the season starting the week. Within 2 games of the Rangers, who are at Pittsburgh and then at Baltimore this weekend. So by Memorial Day, the Astros could be in or at least on the cusp of first place. Really, 2 games out is on the cusp already. So, you know, when you have Astro standards and all their success, I'm sure some are thinking, well, boy, these are micro complaints. Well, no, they're not when your cleanup hitter is a joke. But it means that this team is so good still. Not as good as it's been, but is still good. Margin of error is less. And the Astros internally, of course, are going over all of these things that we do. So those who just find it as complaining, grow up a little.
I don't find Dubon being iced out surprising, but I do find it disappointing just because it really does go against the mantra of, you know, when your guys go out there performing, and especially a guy like Dubon, who clearly has put in the work, adding muscle, changing his swing path, and seeing the results on the field, and doing it over a sustained period of time. And Charlie, you mentioned Jolks. He's still going to get ABs because he's got pop in the bat, which Dubon does not. But both of them walk the same amount, which is not at all. And so I just feel like the results are there right now for Dubon. Why not give him? And you don't have any loyalty to Jolks. Like, you can't have loyalty to everybody. Like, that's the thing. It's like, okay, you're going to have loyalty to your veteran because Abreu's a former MVP. You know, he's got a 3-year deal. He's not going anywhere. So, you know, let's try to fix it. But you can lower him down the line. Nope. He's got to be in the cleanup spot. He's got to split up those 2 lefties. Okay. But let's at least give Dubon some opportunities. No, we got to give everybody else opportunity. At what point do you reward results? And I just feel like Dubon is a feel good story. I do feel like, man, if ever there was a time to work a guy in and maybe give Abreu a day off, just to, you know, whatever is ailing him, and also to give Dubon some shine, because I think the kid earned it.
If Abreu is going to remain the regular come hell or high water, here's one plot point path to getting Dubon some playing time. Once every week and a half for Abreu at first, once every 2 weeks for Altuve at second. I mean, Jeremy Peña is having an season so far. Not bad, but he has not built upon the incredible postseason. So it's not like you're taking prime Derek Jeter or Barry Larkin out of the lineup. So start every couple of weeks at short. And Alex Bregman's been if you're comfortable with Dubon at third. So you can spot him here, spot him there, and then you see how center field's going. The true essence of the utility man that he was supposed to be on this ball club. Of course, does he maintain the level of performance getting piecemeal starts than when he was able to settle into the routine, have the 20-game hitting streak? Though he did before going 5-for-8 in his last two games. Brandon, you alluded to vault back over 300. Law of diminishing returns had kicked in, right? His OPS had fallen to right about 700. The on base percentage right about 300. But, you know, he is their most valuable reserve because of flexibility. And sports, are they not supposed to be, within the context of what's best for the team, a meritocracy, right? You perform, you play well, you get rewarded financially with further playing time opportunity. Dubon, though, has handled it tremendously with anything that he's had to say on the subject, because I think he's realistic. He's not thinking, man, I was playing so well. Why does Altuve come in and play every day? Because he's Jose Altuve, and Dubon gets that.
Yeah, and just honorable mention to his defense too. I mean, the guy flashes amazing leather. We've talked about on this channel maybe the possibility of putting a gradual reacclimation for Altuve by putting him at the DH spot to where you could still take advantage of Dubon's glove and arm at second. But I mean, within the first few days back, Altuve has already made some fantastic plays at second. So it's not like there's any sort of precipitous drop off in defense there, but just tip of the cap to Dubon, who's just really had a great turnaround season. The narrative has completely changed on him, and kudos to him for being able to do that, because we were all on, and let me just raise my hand and say I'm as guilty as anybody when they re-signed Dubon, when they brought him back, and then especially when they're leading him off. There were no bigger eye rolls from this fan base than myself, and the guy has proved all of us wrong again. Like, you know, he hasn't turned into Barry Bonds, and he's not even Altuve at this age, but he's done what you needed from him, and that was to bridge that gap in missing Altuve. Guys, let's move on to our final topic of the episode, and that is, in an age of click-driven media, we're not shocked to see dumb takes, but it sure is amusing sometimes. Well, here's one, courtesy of The Score. The Astros have begun their initial descent from baseball's top echelon. I'll just read a quote here I've got on the screen for those that are watching it with us. Here's one of the quotes. A franchise that appeared to be set for an extended run of sustained excellence. But a franchise that appeared to be set for an extended run. Let me try that again since I can edit that out. Quote, a franchise that appeared to be set for an extended run of sustained excellence like the Dodgers, Rays, or Yankees now appears to be a different trajectory. Houston's outlook is downgraded because of personnel losses following the sign-stealing scandal, the erosion of talent in the farm system, and the rest of the industry catching up to its once innovative practices. So guys, the team that is the reigning champs, who Fangraphs currently has as the fourth best World Series odds, well, I guess it's all over. Have we buried the lead? Should we just shut down the podcast now? What do you guys think?
Well, there are a couple of ways to take that in. One, the Rays have been good for 4 years, went to one World Series. And the Yankees have had 30 straight winning seasons, last tasted a World Series appearance in 2009. The Dodgers are state-of-the-art franchise, 10 straight seasons in the postseason, but just the one World Series win. Are there warning signs with the Astros? Sure. Is the absolute peak of this dynastic era behind them? Probably. But this is not a 106-win caliber team this year. The roster obviously is not as good overall, top to bottom, as last season's team, 2021, 2017, 2019. But when you are the World Series champions, you can still slip a little and contend to win another World Series, or at least be a contender with multiple years still on the horizon of excellence. But as we talked about a little bit here, right, Altuve's up after next year and he'll be 34 years old. Bregman's up after next year, will be in his 30s. And Alex Bregman was last elite in 2019. The state of the farm system is not good. But declaring the king is dead, long live the king, that's a lot of wishful thinking. The score, Canadian founded, then bought by a U.S. gambling company next year. So maybe somewhere in the exchange rate. And when it's gambling, they're just placing a bet that the Astros are going to crumble. That certainly does not appear imminent.
That feels like wishful thinking, if you're asking me. People have just been waiting to write these articles about the Astros. Finally, oh, is the end coming? I mean, come on, guys. USA Today's power rankings are out. I think the Astros are sixth right now. So they haven't fallen that far. They're only a couple games back in the division. And look how they performed with all these injuries to the pitching staff and Altuve and Brantley still not back. Bregman still hasn't broken out yet. Pena's just kind of doing okay. I mean, imagine when all these things are clicking on all cylinders. You've just been kind of riding Yordan and Kyle Tucker till now, but these other guys are going to hit. The pitching, hopefully McCullers will be coming back, but if not, the bullpen's still fantastic. This is a good Astros team, and as long as they can kind of hang around, and I don't think they're just going to hang around. They're on a run. I think it's going to continue, but you see teams like the Lakers, they kind of hang around, and you think they're done, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start popping in the playoffs. I know it doesn't look great for them right now, but that's the point. When you have teams that good, they just need an opportunity, and then they can show you what they're built of when the games matter the most.
Not this season's Golden State Warriors last season that won the fourth title in Golden State's dynasty. Clearly not the team that they were the first year they won the championship and then the two with Kevin Durant, but they were still elite and won another championship. That's where the Astros are. Starting this week, the Astros, two games behind the Rangers in the American League West. That, with the Rangers being better than the Astros in terms of the everyday positions on the field at all of them, except for Yordan Alvarez, who we're calling the left fielder as opposed to DH. Every other position, Rangers way better behind the plate, way better at first base. Marcus Semien's an MVP candidate so far for the Rangers, way better than what Dubon was doing, or even good Altuve. Semien would be right there with that Altuve. Much better at shortstop with Corey Seager missing a month. Josh Young's been better than Alex Bregman so far at third. Yordan has 41 runs batted in. Adolis Garcia has 49 for the Rangers. He's absolutely been better so far this season, the Rangers right fielder, than Kyle Tucker. Leody Taveras, better than what the Astros have gotten out of the poo-poo platter in center field. Wow, the Rangers are awesome. They're two games. They're two games ahead of the Astros. Are the Astros going to continue to be a bottom echelon offense while the Rangers? I mean, maybe the Rangers are going to be legit and have staying power through the summer. I question their starting rotation's durability, but it's been outstanding. Their bullpen's flat out weak, and that's the kind of thing that can catch up with you over the summer months. But yeah, that the Astros are in tatters presently. I mean, the tweet that you posted there, Brandon, that they're in their descent. Their sustainability, as opposed to the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Rays. The Rays are preposterous, right? The Rays are in a four-year window now, not already six, not with two World Series, one. But like noses, everyone gets an opinion.
Quickly on those stats, they're only two games back, the Astros. Rangers are second in team OPS at 798. Team slug in the Astros and OPS are 22nd. Team slugging, Astros are 25th. Rangers are third. I mean, huge difference in margins there, and yet the Astros are only two games back.
Well, if only the Astros were built for sustained excellence like the Yankees, the team that they've eliminated out of the playoffs 3 years of this six-year run that they've had. It feels like someone wrote this on a plane. The Astros have begun their initial descent. It feels like they heard the cabin announcement and just ran with it from a headline standpoint. You know, Charlie, you mentioned a lot of the points here. There are some kernels of truth into why you'd want to poke holes in this team's ability to maybe sustain this excellence for the next few years. And sign stealing did hurt them. That punishment did hurt them. You lost four draft picks, one and a two for 2 years in a row. So that does hurt. And their farm system is not well regarded. But how many of those top rated prospects that were traded away for Verlander or Greinke have actually panned out? They're prospects. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, is their farm system well regarded? No. But Drew Gilbert might have something to say about that as well. It doesn't really matter if, you know, look at the trade that James Click was able to make, bringing in a guy who's now what, their second best prospect in their system, and Yiner Diaz. So it can turn quickly. You only need a few to pan out. And you could honestly argue that 2019 was the Astros' best team as far as a roster goes, and they lost. So rosters are one thing, performance is another. And I'll take the team that I just saw won the World Series and who are currently the reigning champs. Then that takes us to our bottom line question of the week. And our bottom line is where we I toss out a question to my co-host, and then everyone we encourage to respond in the comment section. So guys, we've talked about the return of Jose Altuve. We had a bottom line question just a few weeks ago where we pontificated on whether Jose Abreu, who has been well established, has been lacking in power, would Jose Abreu hit a home run before Jose Altuve returned? That did not happen. So props to those who took that side of the coin. That brings me to my next one. Who will hit the home run first this season, Jose Abreu or Jose Altuve?
Well, I'm not backing Abreu twice in a row. Altuve, he leads off any given game. There's a chance he starts the Astros offense with a home run. Abreu, now I may set an over-under of Labor Day, for God's sakes.
Yeah, give me Altuve here. Altuve almost had one. He just pulled a little bit foul the other day. So, yeah, give me Altuve. It's just with Abreu, it's not just the numbers. It's the eye test. I can't remember anybody striking out on three straight pitches as much as he does. It's hard to watch. So give me Altuve.
I had someone tweet me after the column last week, who homers first, Brian Abreu or Jose Abreu?
Full transparency for those who didn't watch that episode, I did take Jose Abreu or Jose Altuve returning. I'm going to root the other way on this. I'm going to say Jose Abreu runs into one and he hits a home run first. I'm probably going to be wrong and that's fine. But you know, if we all agreed, that'd be boring. So I'll take Jose Abreu on that one.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
That's going to do it for episode 24 of Stone Cold Strohs. For Charlie and Josh, I want to thank our producer, Jack, and thank everyone who listened and participated in the show this week. Next Monday is Memorial Day. We will not have an episode of Memorial Day. We're trying to put one together for either Tuesday or Wednesday. So stay tuned. We'll put something out on social media to let you know either way. Until then, go Strohs.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.